The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show.
Hey, for you Eric Metaxas trivia buffs out there, Eric's Secret Service code name is El Jerko.
Please make note of it.
And now the man who'll deny it, but it's true anyway.
Here's El Jerko himself.
My friend Eric Metaxas.
Hey folks, welcome to Hour 2. We call this Hour 2. Chris Himes is with me.
Hello.
Jonathan Sater is with me. And of course, Ben Franklin, wax version, is with me. Now, Chris Himes, you gave me this handsome Ben Franklin candle.
I did.
Years ago, and I've never had the heart to light it.
Well, you know, it's...
You said, Eric, this is yours if you can keep it.
I remember.
I'll never
forget. By the way, that was from both of us.
Thank you. that's not true. I need to see the receipt. But honestly, we, in hour one today, we spoke to Newt Gingrich about his new book. In hour two today, we're talking to Brigitte Gabriel. This is hour two, right? So that means shortly I'm speaking to Brigitte Gabriel, and somebody better get that woman a cup of coffee. She's a real sleepy person. She just doesn't have a lot of energy, low energy Brigitte, they call her. But she's going to be talking about, well, you'll see. Why should we tell you? But in the next segment, I want to make clear, we do this every year around July 4th. We have a dramatic reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy. It's the book that I wrote with Tim Raglan. Tim Raglan and I have done so many books together. We've done a lot of children's books together. But this is a really patriotic story. It's called Yankee Doodle Muggsy. If you have a copy of the book, you know, you might want to break it out and get the kids around the radio. Because we're doing a dramatic reading, that's in the next segment. So just so you're prepared for that, and you might want to have a box of Kleenex because it's so patriotic. You might weep with love for your country. Actually, in all seriousness, every time I read it, I get choked up because it's, what can I say? It's kind of embarrassing to get choked up by your own writing. But the point is, it's beyond me. It's about the country and our love.
Well, for it was printed on onion paper, so that might explain something.
You know what? I think some people don't know what you mean by that, but it doesn't matter because we're just going to move on. So, guys, I want to say that we have so many great interviews scheduled for next week. I want to talk about those in a minute, but I want to tell people right now that this Friday we're having a special presentation. The Salem Radio Network is airing, I think, on most of our, most people on Salem Radio Network are going to be airing this on Friday. It's a special July 4th service at the church where I preached, actually, down in Dallas. It's Pastor Robert Jeffress's church. And by the way, if you ever get a chance to visit that church in Dallas, it'll blow your mind. I've never seen anything like it. I'm not kidding. Like, there's technology in that church that is, you think I'm kidding. It was like out of a Simpsons episode. I thought, what's going to happen next? Like, it was just over the top, amazing. But so this Friday, both hours of this program, we're giving over to that service. Who will be at that service besides Pastor Robert Jeffress? Oh, what about Vice President Michael Pence? Yeah. Oh, that's right. He is speaking. We're not kidding. So that's this Friday. If you tune into this program and I sound like Mike Pence, it's because that's Mike Pence. It is not I. It will not be I. It will be Mike Pence and Robert Jeffress. So that's Friday. Tomorrow on this program, we are going to be talking to our friend John Rankin. It's been a long time since we've had him on the program because his son, Jeremy, passed away at age 34, and so he's obviously been going through a tough time. We're going to talk to him about that tomorrow. He's such a dear friend. I'm just so glad that he was willing to talk to us about that. And then next week, we're going to air, he's running for Congress in Connecticut, and we're going to air, we're going to talk to him about running for Congress in Connecticut. Boy, if he won, guys, you know, he would stir the pot like nobody. Yep. It would just be the greatest thing ever. And his campaign alone, I hope people will be involved. People listening to this will want to get involved in his campaign. I can think of no one whom I'd like to see, you know, represent that district in Connecticut, the fifth district in Connecticut, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. No free 8-track players for everyone, you know, that votes for him.
He's giving away 8-track players. Mm-hmm. So that's tomorrow. We mentioned that. Did we say who we have next week? We also will be talking next week to John Lennox. A lot of you know John Lennox. I've interviewed him on this program a few times. I've interviewed him at Socrates in the City. He has a new book out called 2084, Artificial Intelligence and the Future of Humanity. I have to say, the implications of what he talks about, we need to be aware of what's at stake. Also next week, we're talking to Ethan Gutman. He has written extensively. He's an investigative journalist who's written about the Communist Party in China and how they, actually, it's hard for me almost to say this, to believe that this could be true, but they are, to put it politely, harvesting the organs of Uyghur Muslims, of Christians, of people they consider political prisoners. In other words, people who disagree with them, who dare to disagree with the Communist Party in China, are being murdered. Most of them in their 20s for their organs. This is something out of a nightmare novel. It couldn't be more horrific. We need to face this. We need to talk about it. Ethan Gutman will be on this program next week. I just want to say, don't miss that. Please don't miss that. All the stuff that we do, let me say this before we go to our dramatic reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy, that I hope those of you who listen to this program can share what we do with your friends. If you're on social media, please retweet what we tweet, and please share it. We're now on Parler.com and on Gab.com, if you prefer those social media platforms to Twitter. Who could blame you? But please share what we share. We're also on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. And then at the end of every week, this week we'll do it tomorrow rather than on Friday. But we sent out an email with links to every one of the shows we've done that week, plus a number of other important links. I just want to say, we need you to help us. I don't normally say this as nakedly, but I just feel I want my audience to know that we need your help. We need you to share what we share and put out there, because as you know, we have a media world today that has lost its way. They are no longer journalists. And a lot of the information that is true never gets to people. People never know what is real, because the media just doesn't even cover it. They cover one side of the story. So we're asking for your help. I say that just because I know how much we need it. We get wonderful emails from people saying how much they love this program and how much they appreciate what we're doing and my books. And I just want to say, I need your help. Give a copy of, if you can keep it, to your neighbor who doesn't appreciate what's at stake. You know, we just need your help. So I wanted to say that bluntly, clearly. If you're not signed up for my newsletter, please go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for it, sign up any friends you think would appreciate it. We really need you to help expand our voice, because it's rather limited at present.
Yeah, and please subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, Eric Metaxas Show YouTube. Yeah.
Yes, YouTube. We're on YouTube now. We've got actually a lot of people are subscribing to that. We have over 70,000 subscribers. We'd like to you know, increase that by tenfold if possible, and if not possible, by 20-fold. So either way, but it's true. We really need your help. I want to say that. Okay, when we come back, a dramatic reading of my favorite July 4th book of all time. It's called Yankee Doodle Muggsy, and we'll be right back.
Now, Yankee Doodle Muggsy, read by me, the author, Eric Metaxas, and the book is by Eric Metaxas and Tim Raglan, and it's dedicated to the children of the American Revolution, past, present, and future. Oh, listen, my children, and you shall hear of the 4th of July and old Muggsy, dear. A greater patriot could ne'er be found, and hardly a man is now around who doesn't remember that famous day and cheer. On that hallowed day of our nation's birth, Muggsy, our hero, once more proved his worth as protector of Margaret, his beloved new wife, and Emily and Habakkuk in their happy new life. The morning began with a children's game. I was there as a witness, and the truth I proclaim, and just for the record, Peeves is my name. The stairs now he mounts. Hush, the children still sleep. Their door we approach, and inside now creep.
Oh, I'm your Yankee Doodle Muggsy. Your Uncle Muggsy, do or die. You're my niece and nephew. I your uncle am. And today is the 4th of July. Today's a Yankee Doodle's daydream. A day when flags and rockets fly. Uncle Muggsy went to London, called King George a phony. I am that Muggsy Doodle guy.
Then down the hall of history, they marked our freedom's trail as Muggsy named the noble names George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Nathan Hale, and told how as one the framers answered liberty's sweet call by making their great declaration at Independence Hall. And he told how Betsy Ross in haste the stars and stripes unfurled, and how Lexington and Concord was the shot heard round the world. Then he told of the winter of the troops who camped at Valley Forge, and how their stoic sacrifice in Pennsylvania's snow and ice defeated old King George.
Yankee Doodle Dandies, let's make a joyful noise and sing. We're the star-spangled children of our Uncle Sam, and today make the freedom bell ring. Let's cut a Yankee Doodle caper. Salute our founding fatherhood. Let's recite some happy birthday poetry to the land of the free and the good.
But in the midst of their festive song, the downstairs doorbell chimed. And so they left off their fifing and drumming. The British, they giggled, are coming, they're coming. One if by lap, two if by knee, and I'll dust the banister, Muggsy cried, wee! And so down the handrail a-flying they came and made such a scene in the hall. At the bottom they discharged as though from a gun, with Muggsy a great cannonball. Poor Muggsy, in crashing, had smashed all to bits some luggage there piled all around. He'd assaulted the ramparts of civilized taste in a single opening bound. And then from that wreckage he looked up to see that English Medusa, that Gorgon, that ghoul. It was Margaret's mother. She had come unannounced. A one-woman finishing school. Egad!
And there she glowered jowlishly, so prim and grimly proper. Her teaching the children to fall again was a cold conversation stopper. "That's not it at all," groaned Muggsy. "You see, I was teaching the twins of our history." "I see what you're teaching them, Ambrose," she snipped. Muggsy winced at that name painfully. "In England," she went on, "when Victoria was queen, we'd have music, then riding, then tea." "But great Aunt Hortensia," the children now piped, "today is the 4th of July. The parade starts at 4, Muggsy said, "and what's more, the colors of freedom will fly." "What nonsense," she sniffed, and declared in summation, "the 4th of July is merely a day for proper education." And true to her word, without thought for the day, she commenced her campaign in the British way. While the twins were put through their proper paces, their thoughts could be seen on their sad little faces. They'd missed the parade and the fireworks, too. Would their dear Uncle Muggsy somehow come through? Might he yet save them from this hopeless to-do? Who knew? And what could he do? As promised, first music, and Hortensia would sing. Habakkuk's new violin popped a string. The tick of the metronome crisply kept time as the two of them sawed on and on. What a crime! "I'll free you," thought Muggsy. "Just give me some time." Equestrian training was next on the list. Emily's pony jumped first and missed. They trotted and cantered and hobbled and hopped. Hortensia's enthusiasm never stopped. But most painful of all was the deep crimson hue of their traditional horsey attire. "Red coats on the 4th, this is war!" Muggsy cried with patriotic fire. And by far the worst insult to that sacred day meant to honor the brave and the free was that starting at 4 with Hortensia's friends, they would suffer an English high tea. "By Gadfrey," said Muggsy, "I'll save them, I will, with some red, white, and blue rocketry. I'll remind them of all of our battles of yore. I'll show them once more who it was won that war on this day of our great liberty." And soon he'd return with a wheelbarrow full of crackers and candles and bombs. A true Bunker Hill of explosives it was, a gunpowder mountain of arms. He arranged them like minutemen ready to fight. He stood them behind rocks and trees. There were serpents and spinners and sparklers and snaps. There were mortars and missiles and whistles and caps. It would bring the redcoats to their knees. Whiz, bang, crack, boom. The battle at last had begun. The chit-chat now ended. The sipping now ceased. The ladies were blasted clean out of their seats. And the twins were at last having fun. "I say, I can't see," old Hortensia declared, amidst the bombs bursting bright and the rockets' red glare. "We are routed, dear ladies. Abandon the field." Lady Daphne fainted. Virginia reeled. Across the land, the Liberty Bell pealed. The battle was won. The day was now done. I had hoped we might cease and desist, but it wasn't to be, for now giddy with glee, true to form, Muggsy couldn't resist. For there yet was one rocket of red, white, and blue. They called it Big Martha for Washington's bride. The match now he struck, the fuse now he lit, but the missile took off with dear Muggsy astride. How high o'er the treetops like Lindbergh he flew. The world grew more distant as farther he zoomed. And Margaret, Hortensia, the children, and I all knew in our hearts that poor Muggsy was doomed. "Shades of Icarus," barked Muggsy, "a turn for the hearse. Victory wasn't supposed to be this hard. It puts me in mind of that line from the bard. I've been hoist by my own petard. Drat." But fortune besmiled upon Muggsy that day. The bomb, though it flew, was a miserable dud. It fell and it fell through the clouds to the ground, then fizzled and crashed in some mud. And when the smoke cleared, how Muggsy rejoiced. His life had been spared and the day was yet young. And to top it all off, he'd been given a mule. And now to his mane Muggsy clung. "Onward, Bucephalus, onward," he cried. "We'll catch that parade by the tail if we must. The Republic depends on us, so do the twins. Hi-ho, Yankee Doodle, or bust." Now swiftly he galloped and spread the good cheer to every village and farm far and near. "Awaken, ye citizens, hearken and hear. America's birthday is here, is here. America's birthday is here." Meanwhile, at the parade, made all solemn and grave, set Margaret the twins and Hortensia too. They'd come out to sea, but for sadness saw not. It was what Muggsy would have wanted to do. But lo, in the distance came a cry and a hue. 'Twas a mule hasting toward us in red, white, and blue. And atop that old mule, flying fearless and fleet, atop that swift steed racing down our main street, sat a fanciful fop, quite familiar somehow. And "Happy Birthday, America" was writ upon his brow. Then the mule, he stopped short, and the rider was thrown. Muggsy landed and made his identity known. He lay battered and blackened with many a wound. "A ghost!" cried Hortensia, and swooned. "You've come back," they all shouted. "Hurrah, you're alive!" "Of course," Muggsy laughed. "I'm just sore from the ride." Then each twin took an arm and helped him to stand. He lifted Old Glory and gave the command. "Let's join the parade," Muggsy cried. "Fall in line." The fife pierced the air and the drum marked the time. And the air and the afternoon swelled with their song. It rose to the heavens till marching along was another parade filled with heroes of yore. We've seen some of them in our story before, but others we haven't, whose song now we sing, and to them humbly make this our small offering. Yankee Doodle to all, and to all a good night.
The Trump campaign has a special offer just for you. President Trump wants to meet you. This will be the first opportunity he's had to meet with American patriots like you since our country started reopening. His team will cover the flight and hotel and give you VIP access for yourself and a guest. He'll even take a picture with you. All you have to do is text VIP to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump. Again, that's VIP to 88022 for your chance to win and join President Trump in the fight to keep America great for 4 more years.
Hi, folks. Trying times. Just know they won't last. Trying times can be hard on our digestive tract. So why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Life Change Tea is an herbal blend of tea that helps the digestive tract and the colon cleanse from intruders. For years, people have experienced the benefits from Life Change Tea. And so can you. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for those of you that want to go a step further, we have non-GMO organic supplements. If you're listening to Eric, you're informed and educated. So how about free shipping? Just go to the checkout, find the coupon code, enter Eric, E-R-I-C, hit apply, and receive free shipping. Again, Eric, in the coupon code, hit apply, free shipping. These historic times will pass. The yuck in your gut will pass also with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you enjoyed my reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy. You know, this is a patriotic week in particular for us. I thought it would be important to talk to Brigitte Gabriel. You probably know her. She's been on this program before. She's the head and founder of Act for America. Brigitte, welcome back.
Thank you, Eric. I'm delighted to be back with you.
Listen, you're doing so many different things. You have a book out called Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian what?
Values and Freedom.
Values and Freedom. When did that book come out, Rise?
That book came out last year, but okay. You would think I wrote it yesterday because I was like a psychic who predicted what's going to happen. And those of us like you and I, Eric, who have been following this, and you and I have been together for years, like we were talking off air, running into each other in green rooms and being together on the show, we have watched the signs. We literally have seen the writing on the wall. But you and I eat, live, and breathe this stuff every single day. Most people don't. And what we have been warning about is now coming to reality, and that's exactly why people need to be engaged, people need to be informed, people need to be educated. But the most important word is people need to be activated. And I named the organization Act for America. Now, think about America, not wish for America, not pray for America, not hope for America. You can do all that, but without action, nothing happens.
Well, that's very true. Now, let's start there. What is the website for Act for America? Because I want people to find you.
Our website is actforamerica.org. We are the largest national security organization in the country with 1.6 million members. We have helped pass 107 bills on the federal level and the state level to protect the country. And our latest victory is we sent 200,000 letters and emails to President Trump, to the White House, to designate Antifa as a domestic terrorist group. And I'm glad to tell you that we have a president that listens and takes action.
I had no idea, Brigitte, that that was you and Act for America behind that. That is absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad you brought that up. My goodness, the things that you get done, I'm afraid to think of you on a cup of coffee. You would be, it would be too much. It would be too much. Well, that's always my joke, Eric, with you. You need coffee.
Eric, I always say 2% of the passionate will always rule the 98% indifferent. And I'm going to repeat, 2% of the passionate will always rule the 98% indifferent. It doesn't take many people to stand up and save our country. Few people on this planet have made a huge difference that affects people's lives. When you look at the left right now, we are the silent majority. They are the minority, but they are the thugs who are loud, who are violent, who scream and yell. And all we need is to activate enough people on our side to take action, to speak up, to develop a backbone, to stand up, to be courageous, and to make the phone calls, to write the emails. And that's how we protect our country. And that's exactly why now more than ever, our side needs to stand up and speak up and take action.
Well, you know, it is... It is funny to me that people usually, I mean, you grew up in Lebanon, right?
Yes.
Okay. People who come from the other side, my parents came from Europe, and they trained me in a way, I had an immigrant's attitude, that you appreciate America more because you know what life is like beyond our borders. You know that this is not normal, that the freedoms we have here are not normal, and you have to fight for it. When you talk about wanting to activate people, what are some ways in which, and I want to talk to you about defunding the police in a minute, but what are some of the ways that people can be activated? Because this is a huge issue. People say, what can I do? What can I do?
Exactly. And that's exactly why I started Act for America. And I'm going to give you a simple tip. A lot of people think, oh, my elected official, my congressman is not going to hear anything. What's my voice going to matter? They need to hear from 50,000 people. Wrong. I talk to members of Congress and I work with them very closely on a federal level. And I ask them, how many people do you need to hear from on a major issue to get your attention? And you'll be shocked at the numbers. On a national level, on a congressional level, all they need to hear from is 40 to 50 people on one issue. That's it. 40 to 50 people. And that makes an issue their top priority. And here's the reason why. They tally every phone call and every email. They believe if one person makes a phone call or writes a letter, he or she are representing 1,000 couch potatoes who feel the same way but are too lazy to make a phone call or write a letter, yet they vote on election day. That translates to 40 to 50,000 voters on election day. That can make or break an election. So when we ask you to call your member of Congress, don't think, what is my voice going to matter? Your voice represents 1,000 voters. Make that phone call. Because, Eric, they are hearing from the leftists. They are hearing from the left. They're not hearing from our side. And that's how Act for America was able to pass 107 bills on the federal level and the state level. And right now, we are standing with our police.
It is amazing. I want to talk to you about the police. We've just got a minute left, not even in this segment. But so I will just say that when I heard that they were calling for the defunding of the police, like most Americans, I thought, this is lunacy. In other words, you hear lunacy. I mean, the Green New Deal, you know, getting rid of all the cars, you hear these things and you say, this is so ridiculous. I don't really have time to pay attention to it because it's so dumb. Defunding the police, it's just so exquisitely stupid that you can't imagine that anyone would take it seriously. So when we come back, I want you to talk to us about this, because we forgot that there are people in leadership that are, in fact, stupid enough to to act on this. So when we come back, I'm talking to Brigitte Gabriel. She's with Act for America. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thinking that life has passed them by.
Folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Brigitte Gabriel with Act for America. Brigitte, tell us about defunding the police. I know you've written about this very recently.
Well, this is absolutely the craziest idea the left has come up with. Defunding the police, they have lost their mind. I come from a country where I know what happens. I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be Paris of the Middle East, until the thugs, the terrorist thugs, destroyed the country. Right now, Lebanon is run by Hezbollah, one of the largest terrorist organizations in the world. They not only run the government, Eric, they have elected themselves democratically into the government. So I know what happens when the thugs take control of your country. And right now we are seeing this starting to happen in America. Look what's happening in Seattle. Look what's happening in Minneapolis. Look what's happening all over the country. And their idea of defunding of the police is their latest crazy idea. And that's why Act for America is standing with law enforcement. We have a petition on our website to not defund the police, but defend the police. And I encourage people who are watching us right now, no matter where you are, go to actforamerica.org and sign that petition. You enter your zip code. We give you the names of your city council member, the names of every single city council member in your town, in your community, the name of your mayor. We have a pre-written letter for you. You sign that letter and you send it to them directly. Your voice matters. No matter where you're watching us right now, I know this is going to be on the internet. I know this is nationwide. Whether you are in Fontana, California, or Vermont, or in Maine, or Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Orlando, Florida, go to actforamerica.org. Click on our petition to stand with the police. Enter your zip code and take action today. They need to hear from us. Because they are hearing from the lefty and the radicals, they need to hear from us as well. We need to stand with law enforcement.
Well, this is, I love the idea that you make this easy, that people listening to this program, and there will be many listening and viewing it online, who can go to your website, actforamerica.org.
Correct. Actforamerica.org. They can sign the petition. Yeah. And also they can sign up to become an activist or sign up to lead a group in their community. We have resources under our activism, under Take Action. Download free of charge. We have ideas how you can write letters to the editor, how you can write letters to your members of Congress, how you can meet with members of Congress, how you can attend the town hall, what to do when you attend the town hall, how to write letters to the editor. We hold your hand and train you as an activist, how you can make a difference for the country, and you can do it sitting in your home. Sign up for our activist emails. We need you engaged and we need you informed.
Okay, now the drugs that you're on, are they legal or illegal drugs? Be honest with my audience. Brigitte, listen, you're a force of nature because we need people like you who help us to get engaged. This is the key, and I love the idea that that's what Act for America is, because it strikes me, again, coming from immigrant parents, that I've always noticed that Americans tend to be apathetic because we have always had it pretty good here. We don't understand that people had to die. People had to fight over and over again, that in the revolution, people bled and died for freedom. That this is something that if you don't understand you have to fight for it, you tend to do nothing. You tend to be apathetic. And it's really exactly why we are where we are today, because we never thought anybody could gain the upper hand and do stupid things like propose that we defund the police or whatever it is. We kind of forget, and you help us to see that we do need to be active, but then you make it easy. I mean, I love the idea that on your website, actforamerica.org, you enable people to send letters and things directly to their leaders, because I really do believe that most Americans just think there's nothing that I can do. And right. And let me since I'm filibustering here, let me say this, that I think the key to American freedom, because of course I've written about this as well, is that we the people must feel that we have a voice. The moment we feel, what does it matter what I say, instantly democracy breaks down, because at that moment, the corrupt officials are able to sort of run with whatever they like. They're not accountable.
Exactly. And look, I have the passion that I have because I understand what it's like to grow up in a country under tyranny where you cannot speak your mind. Look, I dressed in my burial clothes at the age of 13, waiting to be slaughtered, living in a bomb shelter in Lebanon. I lived underground in a hellhole bomb shelter from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth, crawling under the bombs, digging for grass and dandelions to eat, and crawling under snipers' bullets to get some water. I have the passion that I have because I know what it's like to make it to the promised land, the United States of America. And my first book, Because They Hate, where it talks about my life story, and that's a whole other topic we can talk about. Great motivational story. I encourage people to read about my background. But I came to America and I understand the freedom. This is the promised land. People like me who cross oceans to get here understand the importance of the freedom that we have. We never really own freedom, Eric. We only preserve it for the next generation. And that's why we fight, and that's why we fight hard. And that's why I left my television production company after 9/11, and I started ACT for America, because I wanted to create an organization that will fight for this country, that will stand up and defend this country from evil, and defend it from all threats, foreign and domestic.
Well, listen, I love that. And the fact that you went through such hell as a young person, it really does explain your passion. Both my parents went through hell many, many decades, of course, before you did. But it does something. It makes you understand that what you have is fragile. And if it's something beautiful like American-style freedom, you really have to fight for it. And I it's one of the reasons I'm excited about having you on, Brigitte, because I think that a lot of Americans, as I said, they don't seem to know either what to do or whether they can do anything. There are a lot of people that I know that are serious Christians who they have a doom and gloom attitude, and they're sort of defeatist. They think, listen, it's all going to hell, and let's just forget about it, you know, and then go into our caves. And you think, no, now is the time to fight. Now is the time to fight. I want to remind people that they can find you at actforamerica.org. And I guess I want to say, before we come back, I want to tell my audience, you need to go to actforamerica.org and do some of the things that Brigitte has made it so easy for you to do. If we, the people, do not get involved, and if you've got a better idea, go and do that. Otherwise, please go to actforamerica.org and take action. Folks, we need to take action. We'll be right back.
The preacher talked to me and he smiled.
They're gonna put me in the movies.
Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Brigitte Gabriel with Act for America. Brigitte, I was saying earlier that I know a lot of people that they are serious about their Christian faith, but they have what I consider bad theology. They think being a Christian means being nice. It means not fighting. And I think to myself, even if I'm commanded to love my enemies, if my enemies are doing evil, I'm commanded to fight them, to stop them from doing evil. But many, many Christians today really have terrible theology, and they think we're just supposed to sit back and let it all go to hell.
No, we shouldn't. And look, all we need to do is follow the example of Jesus. I mean, don't we all live to be as much as we can like Jesus, to love our enemy and to pray for our enemy? Jesus was the first activist. When Jesus saw evil at the temple, he was angry. He walked in. He turned the table. He expressed his anger. He stood up for what he believed is good. If we are Christians, what better way to follow in Jesus' footsteps than to speak up and do something when we see evil done in the name of anything, whether socialism, communism, Islamofascism, or any other evil? I believe we are instruments in God's hand. God doesn't change the world through lightning in the sky. God uses his people as instruments. I talk to Christians who say on election day, oh, I just want to pray and read my Bible and not go out and vote. And I say to them, those of you who do not go out and vote, you're by default electing somebody who does not share your values. It is our responsibility. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. It is our responsibility as those who believe the difference between goodness and evil and who see the difference between goodness and evil to stand up and be counted. Because you know what, Eric? On our last dying breath, you and I can go to bed and know that we are leaving this earth knowing that we did everything we can and we dedicated our life to speaking the truth, to educating the masses. And we can look at our children and say, I have done everything I can possibly do to make a difference in this world. And that's where I want to be when I pass away.
Exactly. And I was going to say, if you care about the poor, you know, people talk about, you know, do you care about blacks? You care about the poor. If you care about blacks in urban situations and you do not vote, if you care about the poor, those are struggling, you claim to care for them and you give your voice to Black Lives Matter, which is a wicked Marxist organization, what you do and what you don't do is affecting the world around us. And again, the reason that I value you, Brigitte, is because you help people to understand that they must speak up. They must take action. There are so many people that really just believe it's just not worth it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I think that, I mean, nobody wants to rescue black people in urban poverty more than I do from the Democratic establishment that has taken them for granted. That's and right. That has done absolutely less than nothing for them for over 50 years. I mean, it's time we acted on their behalf. And if people are confused politically by what we're doing, that's their business. We know that the Democratic Party has destroyed the black community. And I think it's about time that they're themselves waking up.
And now it is destroying our nation. So whether people who are listening to us or watching us right now, whether they are believers, they are Christians, or they're not, to whom much is given, much is required. That's much my message to the Christians. You need to stand up and fight. And even if you're not a person of faith and you are listening to us right now, we have a responsibility in this nation. The fact that we are holding the American passport and American nationality, we have a responsibility because we are in a position better than any other person on the face of the planet. America is the most exceptional nation on the face of the planet. You can come to this country from nothing. It doesn't matter who your father is. It doesn't matter who your mother is. You can become a multimillionaire and you can be elected president of the United States.
Amazing.
This is the land of opportunity, and this is the land we need to stand up and defend and fight for. And always remember, you never really own freedom. We only preserve it for the next generation. Become involved. Go to actforamerica.org and join us.
Actforamerica.org. Brigitte, a joy to have you. God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.